What if you could design a new drug candidate in weeks, not years? Alphabet's Isomorphic Labs just moved its first AI-designed drugs into clinical trials, but a recent review highlights a validation crisis, with these candidates still failing at high rates. This week, we're dissecting the AI drug discovery boom, separate the hype from the reality, and tell you what it means for your business. That's coming up on Troy Technical Intelligence. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're diving deep into the pharmaceutical and biotech sectors, where artificial intelligence is triggering a revolution. We'll start with a huge milestone from Google's sister company, Isomorphic Labs, which is taking AI-designed drugs into human trials.
But we'll also provide a critical reality check, exploring the validation crisis and data challenges that threaten to derail this progress.
Then we'll look at where innovation is hitting the market today, with a major FDA approval for a new oral drug that could reshape a $150 billion market. And finally, we'll cover how regulators themselves are changing the rules to accelerate development. Let's get started. Troy, let's start with the big headline. Isomorphic Labs, a company under the Alphabet umbrella, is advancing its first therapeutics into clinical trials. This feels like a major moment for AI in medicine.
It is a landmark event, Susie. Isomorphic is leveraging the technology behind AlphaFold, specifically the new AlphaFold 3, to create an end-to-end AI drug discovery platform. They're now moving their first internally developed oncology and immunology candidates into human testing.
We've talked about AlphaFold before, but refresh our memory. What makes AlphaFold 3 so powerful that it can shave years off the development timeline?
The breakthrough is its ability to predict not just the 3D structure of a single protein, but the complex interactions between proteins and other molecules like DNA, RNA, and importantly, small molecule drugs. This allows researchers to conduct massive in silico screening, that is, on the computer, to design and optimize candidates with a high degree of precision before ever stepping into a wet lab.
How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers in the biopharma space?
For pharmaceutical manufacturers, it signals a coming wave of novel, complex molecules designed in ways that were previously impossible. This is a direct competitive threat to companies relying on traditional, slower R&D models. For specialty chemical manufacturers, it creates a massive opportunity, as demand will surge for the novel chemical building blocks and reagents needed to synthesize these AI-designed drugs.
What about trading companies and distributors in the supply chain?
They need to be mapping the pipelines of AI-first companies like Isomorphic Labs right now. The winners will be those who establish sourcing partnerships for the novel active pharmaceutical ingredients, or APIs, that will emerge from these platforms. The market timing isn't 5 years from now. With drugs entering the clinic, the time to build those relationships is today.
So, what's the actionable insight for an executive listening right now?
You must critically evaluate your R&D partnerships. If you are not collaborating with or investing in AI-native discovery firms, you are falling behind. Consider strategic investments to gain access to these platforms, or acquire smaller biotechs that have already integrated these tools into their core process.
That sounds incredibly powerful, Troy. But as I mentioned at the top, I'm also seeing reports of a validation crisis. Is this AI revolution really delivering, or is it just accelerating failure?
That's the essential counterpoint. A comprehensive review published by MDPI, analyzing the period from 2022 to 2026, found that while AI is undeniably speeding up early-stage discovery, the clinical attrition rates for new drugs remain stubbornly high.
Why is that? If the AI is so good at predicting how a drug will bind to a target, why are the drugs still failing in human trials?
The issue lies in the gap between a static prediction and dynamic biology. Current models, even AlphaFold, struggle to accurately model protein dynamics, the way proteins move, flex, and change shape in a living cell. More importantly, as another report in Drug Discovery News highlights, the ultimate bottleneck is data quality. The models are only as good as the training data they're fed.
So what does this mean for manufacturers in the US and Europe who are looking to produce these new AI-designed drugs?
It introduces significant risk. Manufacturers need to build more flexibility into their processes. A promising AI candidate that looks perfect on a computer can still fail in a late-stage trial. This also creates an opportunity for companies that produce advanced analytical tools and services that generate the high-quality, real-world structural data needed to train better AI models.
And for trading and distribution firms, What's their play here?
Due diligence becomes paramount. Don't be swayed by a company's press release about their AI platform. You must scrutinize the preclinical data and the experimental validation process. Ask tough questions about the source and quality of the data used to train their models. That's the real indicator of future success.
The actionable insight here seems to be about caution.
Exactly. Executives need to de-risk their AI strategy. This means investing in a portfolio of AI-driven projects, not a single moonshot. And crucially, you must invest in the unglamorous but essential work of building a robust data infrastructure, complete with curation and experimental validation capabilities to feed your models.
All right, let's move from the promise and peril of AI to a concrete innovation that just hit the market. On June 4th, the FDA approved a drug called icoricingra. What is it, and why does it matter?
Icoricingra is the first oral peptide for treating moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. This is a big deal because for decades, therapeutic peptides like this had to be administered via injection. This approval is a triumph for Advanced Drug Delivery Systems, or DDS.
How does the technology work? How do you make a fragile peptide survive the stomach and get into the bloodstream?
It uses what are called permeation enhancers, specifically a technology known as SNAC. This is the same delivery platform used in Rybelsus, the oral version of semaglutide. The enhancer shields the peptide from enzymatic degradation in the gut and facilitates its absorption. The oral bioavailability is still low, around 1%, but that's sufficient to achieve a therapeutic effect.
This seems directly connected to the explosion in the GLP-1 market for obesity, which is projected to approach $150 billion. How does this approval impact U.S. and European manufacturers?
It confirms a massive market shift from injectables to oral solid dosage forms for a whole class of biologic drugs. This requires a completely different manufacturing infrastructure, moving from sterile fill finish lines to advanced tablet manufacturing. Companies in the U.S. and Europe with expertise in complex oral formulations and these specific permeation technologies have a significant first-mover advantage.
And for trading companies and distributors?
The race for oral GLP-1s is the main event. Eli Lilly has orforglipron, and Novo Nordisk is pushing its oral pipeline. Trading companies should be locking down supply chains for the specialty excipients, like SNAC, that make these drugs possible. The demand for these key ingredients is going to be immense and global.
So the actionable takeaway is to follow the patient preference for pills.
Precisely. Executives should reevaluate their entire formulation and delivery strategy. If you have an injectable biologic in your pipeline, you must have an oral delivery R&D program running in parallel. The market's preference for convenience is a powerful and very bankable trend.
So we have revolutionary AI and new drug delivery systems. How are government regulators like the FDA adapting to this pace of change?
They're actively trying to accelerate it. Also on June 4th, the FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, or CDER, announced new guidance to streamline non-clinical studies for biologics and conjugated products like antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs.
Unpack that for us. What does streamlining non-clinical studies mean in practice?
It means the FDA is formally accepting what it calls New Approach Methodologies, or NAMs, to reduce reliance on traditional animal testing. For an ADC with a well-characterized cytotoxic payload, for example, a company might now be able to conduct its 3-month toxicology studies only in rodents, potentially eliminating the requirement for studies in non-human primates.
Why is cutting out primate studies so important for U.S. and European drug manufacturers?
It's a direct and immediate impact on the bottom line and the timeline. Non-human primate studies are incredibly expensive, can take a year or more to complete, and face constant supply and ethical challenges. This new FDA guidance can shave months and millions of dollars from a preclinical development program, speeding the path to human trials. It's a significant competitive advantage.
And what should trading companies or the service companies in this space, like CROs, know?
Contract research organizations that have invested in and validated these NAMs, things like organ-on-a-chip technology, computational toxicology models, and advanced in vitro assays, are now perfectly positioned. They become mission-critical partners. The supply chain for the reagents, cell lines, and equipment that support these non-animal methods will see a significant uptick in demand.
And the final actionable insight for our listeners this week?
Executives should direct their regulatory affairs teams to immediately review this new FDA guidance against their current biologics pipeline. Identify every program where you can now replace, reduce, or refine animal studies. This is a direct near-term opportunity to optimize your R&D budget and accelerate your speed to market.
Troy, a fascinating look across the board this week. If you had to boil it all down, what are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the AI drug discovery engine is truly operational. With Isomorphic Labs entering the clinic, we've moved from theoretical promise to practical application. The era of computational-first drug design is here. Second, this power comes with a critical caveat, the validation crisis. The quality of your proprietary data and your ability to experimentally prove what the AI predicts is now the primary competitive differentiator. Don't be seduced by the algorithm alone. And third, the physical world of drug manufacturing and regulation is adapting quickly. The pivot to oral biologics is a multi-billion dollar infrastructure shift, and the FDA is actively creating regulatory tailwinds to help innovative companies move faster.
So, based on all that, what is the one thing an executive should do when they get into the office on Monday?
Conduct a formal audit of your company's data readiness for AI. You need to honestly assess the quality, accessibility, and infrastructure of your proprietary biological data. In the coming decade, that data asset will be more valuable than your physical lab space.
Data readiness, a powerful final thought. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, thank you for the insights.
My pleasure, Susie.
To our listeners, for the full analysis and links to this week's sources, please visit our website. Be sure to subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss your strategic update. We'll be back next week with the latest developments impacting your business.